Right. Lord God, as a prelude, Lord, to what you're going to speak to us this morning, we thank you for that word that Gail has read. Lord, thank you that there's a fellowship with you, Lord, that is intimate and precious, Lord God. And we pray this morning as we look into that very thing, Lord, that we would find our place in fellowship with you. Precious Lord God, please speak to us, we pray this morning. Amen. 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 Right, okay. So we are called to fellowship, okay? We've talked about, particularly about our relationship with God, getting it really grounded. We've talked about the friendship that we can have with him. And, not quite. Do you remember we've talked about how about turning around? Okay, just getting that tap on the shoulder from God and finding that the way is clear. We've talked about being close like a child is to their father. And we've also thought about the fact that all prayer and worship flows from a close relationship with God our Father. And then last week I was asking you, are you comfortable holding God's hand? Okay. So, let's start with this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, one of my favourite verses. You know, actually it's a real, you know, you read it, that's one of my favourite verses. That's one of my favourite verses. That's one. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called. Not you will be called, you were called. Okay? And he is faithful, that's God, who's calling you into fellowship with his Son. Now I put that picture there of the heart head because he's not just calling our hearts, he's calling our heads, he's calling all of us. Right? Our whole, you know, body, soul, spirit is doesn't just want our heart, he wants our mind as well. And it's so important that we don't just give mental assent to this calling, but it's something that we open our hearts and say, yes, Lord, I want to know this fellowship, the fellowship of his Son. Now, there's lots of different fellowships you can have. It's written down, I've got just written down six that I found, apart from this one. It's talking about in 2 Corinthians, the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Ephesians talks about the fellowship of the mystery. The Philippians says about the fellowship in the gospel, fellowship of the spirit, and fellowship of his sufferings. And 1 John 1 talks about fellowship with one another. Okay. And let's just look at this last one. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And that's something we've talked about before, isn't it? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Okay? Your joy may be full. Fellowship, as far as God is concerned, is something really close. All right? It's talking about intimacy, like Les was saying there, about intimacy with his Son. Talking about intimacy, closeness, so that we're not at a distance. You know, it's great to think about the fact that we are in his presence in the throne room of God, okay? And we can think about the fact that we are servants of God and we're just got our eye on the Lord, waiting for him to to call us, as it were, and we're in the throne room together. But this fellowship, it's a sit down next to. It's a come down here and enjoy closeness of fellowship. Yeah? It's what I don't want you to make prayer into is like, oh, I've got to, I said it last time, I've got to pray quickly. I've got to pray. No, we're talking about fellowship. It takes time, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, Kim invited Bella and Blake and Michelle and I out for a meal. We sat down together and we just took time. We just took time just to enjoy each other's company, talk a lot. We talked a lot about food. But we just talked and chatted. And it was really nice. Yeah? Fellowship with Jesus is what we're called to. Now, I want to think a little bit about a couple of people, a couple of scriptures that enhance that view. Okay? All right. The first is, I put in Queen of Sheba into Google, and this is what I got. Okay? Queen of Sheba? I don't know. But it says this in 1 Kings chapter 10. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she had come to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the food on his tables, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, their dress, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. You know, sometimes we come to God a little bit belligerent, or a little bit, why? Why is this happening? But when we come into real fellowship with God, he answers every question of our hearts. We may not get, you know, why has this happened to me? We may not get an answer for that. But the things that are going on deep within us, like the Queen of Sheba got to Solomon and she spoke all that was in her heart. All that was in her heart. And the good thing about this is, okay, you know that for you, when you're speaking, you're most comfortable in your own language. Yeah? Yes, I mean, for some of you, you're having to perhaps think before you speak, because you've got to translate it from your language into English and then speak. But imagine being so close to Jesus, you don't need to worry about turning anything into English before you speak. You just speak your language, your heart language. We went to a seminar many years ago now about worship. And this particular person that was doing the seminar, they played a piece of music. It was quite monotonous and sad. It was in minor key, so it was really quite. And they said, "What did you think of that?" And they said, "Well, it was a bit dirgy." And they said, "But to the people in such and such place, that's their worship." Okay, and as an English person, I like certain sorts of music that help me worship. For other people in other languages, it's what's going on in your heart that's important. Okay? It's your heart language that flows to the Lord. Queen of Sheba got to Solomon and she tested him. She brought things concerning all that was in her heart to Solomon. And it says there wasn't a single question that he couldn't answer. She spoke all that was in her heart. And it says at the end there, there was no more spirit in her. There was no more, oh, but what about this? But what about... No. Fellowship brought peace. Now, what about... I did find one other picture. Look, Yul Brynner with hair. I thought, Yul Brynner there as King Solomon. But that's just one incidence in the Bible of someone really sharing their heart with another. And then as I was thinking about these things, I thought, well, actually, Psalm 23 is very much along those sorts of lines as well. Okay, so we've got the Song of the Sheep. Okay. Just imagine a sheep saying this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Isn't that sheep lifting up the shepherd? This is what my shepherd means to me. I wonder if this is what the Lord means to you. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, David wrote that as a shepherd boy. I mean, he probably was a king by the time he wrote it, but he wrote it there. "I'm a sheep," he would have said to himself. "I've got the shepherd looking after me." I wonder if you can be... have that as one of your, well, this is something that I can say because it's how the Lord is to me, how I have fellowship with him. Okay, the valley of the shadow of death, it's a something that we all walk through. Okay, we walk through it with others. There'll be a time when we do walk through it ourselves, for ourselves. But when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a time, if you're grieving, and I know so many of us have in the last year or two been grieving over people that we've lost, you feel alone because part of you is gone. What does it say? "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Oh Lord, may it be that even in this awful place, we know your presence. We know fellowship with the Father, with the Son. And may we end up just being a sheep in the arms of a shepherd. Now, I don't want to be too simplistic with all this, but it's not difficult, okay? This isn't difficult, this isn't complicated. It's just a matter of us getting through and being with God, yeah? If there was a complicated thing, then we might have to sit down and get our Bibles out, and we could look at all sorts of different things. I was looking at Greek words the other day, for prayer, and oh my word, I got so excited about the words, and I thought, oh, I need to share that. And I thought, well, actually, it's really complicated. I don't want to muddy the waters, because this is simple. Okay, if a sheep can understand it, so can you, so can I. Yeah, it's got to be simple for us sheep-like people. Okay. Yes. Let's go a bit deeper, let's do a bit of study and things, and have a look at different word meanings. And all it does is enhance things and makes things better. But for now, let's just keep it simple. If you want to look at the words that I studied, ask me afterwards. I will get you a photocopy of the sheet from the book I read. It was really quite good. Yep. Oh, yeah. In your arms, I cannot fall. Absolutely. What about that, eh? And it's so simple, isn't it? There's a little story that I know of. Oh, I've told it before. Sorry, it's come to my mind, so I will. The story of Art GCSE, and the subject was rest. And so there was a class of GCSE students, and they had to paint a picture about rest. And the first one did a sort of a stick-like person lying on a towel on the beach and soaking up the sun. And the next person did something with a table and a nice cup of tea, and they're just sitting there enjoying. And then the last student painted a great big storm at sea with a boat being tossed to and fro. And the art examiner looked at it and thought, what on earth is that? And then on the forecastle at the back of the ship, there was a man holding a little baby. And that baby was just at rest in the middle of everything. Yeah? And not wanting to stretch things too much, but in fellowship with his father. So, let's move on. Another aspect of this is the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So I want to think a little bit about this word abide. Okay? It's a come in, sit down, take off your shoes, sit in front of the fire, have a chat with me, stay. Stay. Abiding. Now, vines. Okay, here's a vine. I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. Alright, okay. So, actually, the vine sort of, it's all of it, isn't it? You know, you've got the main stalk. Vines aren't any good for timber because of their strange shape. And the vines need tying up, the branches need tying up. But the thing is, everything, all the leaves, all the fruit, all relies on the sap coming up from the roots through the stalk, along the branch, and into where they are. And here's a picture of a vine, a couple of vines there. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, or abide in me and I in you. Because if I said to you, where's the vine, you wouldn't point to the stock, would you? You'd point to the whole thing. Yes? You would. The whole thing is the vine. So Jesus said, I am the vine. Well, that makes, and you are the branch. You're just the vine. Perhaps you feel like you're just a little stalk. I don't know. But the thing is, he says, doesn't he, that in me, oh sorry, I'll read it again, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And a vine is all about fruit, isn't it? A vine, that's the existence of a vine, is just for grapes. Okay? They're not good for diets. Trust me, they are 100% sugar. Jesus is the vine. Somehow we're the branches. Interconnected, so much so that you can't see where the branch finishes and where the vine starts. Okay? All the grapes that are drawing out the sustenance from the branch, they're drawing the sustenance through the branch, through the stalk, down into the root. Abide in him, and he abides in us. So, when Jesus was baptized, it says, John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. Same word, abide. He abode on him. Okay? The Spirit came. Doesn't say anything about the Spirit flying off. The Spirit came and remained on him. Lord. Let's have a look at this next one. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Okay? So I hope you can see a little bit of picture coming here about abiding. The vine doesn't do anything other than abide. Okay? The vine doesn't say, I have got to grow grapes. You know, the vine doesn't say that. The vine just abides and the fruit comes. Yeah? It's no good you say, oh no, I've got no fruit. I've got no fruit for God. I haven't done this. Nothing. Abide. Rest in him. I'm not preaching a pacifist, don't do anything gospel. But I am saying we've got to rest in him. Not, well, I've got to do this, I've got to make sure I do that, I've got to do this, I've got to reach out to that person, I've got to do that. No. Rest in him, and what comes will come. Yes? Okay. I mean, I didn't ask to go to Haynes School on Thursday morning. Tuesday, I just got an email, and they said, can you do it? And it wasn't too hard to get it together. And I just went and did. It wasn't, oh, I've got to get into Haynes School. I've got to get into Haynes School. No. Off you go. And what is it with you? Are you trying to do something for God? Are you trying to do something? Can I suggest that you start by abiding? Start by having fellowship with God. And then see what opens up. See what God does at that point. Yeah? We are living in a world that is so busy and so fast that if we did everything that came our way, we would be exhausted. Well, we're exhausted anyway, aren't we? But you know what I mean? If we kept going at the pace that the world demanded of us, we would be exhausted. Okay? Lord, what do you want me to do? As I'm abiding in you, as I'm in fellowship with you, Lord, you show me what you want me to do. And then leave the rest. Oh, but I... Leave the rest. That could be quite hard. It could be hard for us to say, yeah, but I've been working, I've been befriending such and such. But Jesus hasn't said that at the moment. All right, leave. Trust. You know? Do you remember when Jesus was on the beach after his resurrection and Peter had his reconfirmation from Jesus? And then he said, well, what about that guy over there? Don't worry about them. You do what I say. Yeah? Don't worry. Who are you to say that God hasn't got someone else lined up to go and speak to that person? Let's be in fellowship with God. Abiding in him and see where he points us and where we go. Yes, and as we go, we're still in fellowship with him. I said to someone the other day, I'm married to Michelle. Okay, when I go somewhere else, I'm still married to her. Okay, I'm still, even if I go to East Africa and back, I'm still married to her. And I still get that warm glow when I think of her. We are in fellowship. God has called us to fellowship with Jesus, and it's a place of abiding. And from that place, we move out. But we don't move out away from that fellowship. That fellowship is with us as we walk. Yes? As we do what God is telling us to do, we find that he's with us and he's prompting us and pointing us and saying, do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And then comes this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. Wow. Bear much fruit? Wow. Lord, you want me to bear fruit. You don't want me to be a bit of vine that doesn't do anything. You want me to bear fruit. Ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, I'm not saying, oh, Lord, what I'd really like is a Lamborghini. No. I'd like a BMW motorcycle. I'd like this. I'd like a four-bedroom house with garage, with central heating. No, I'm not talking about that sort of thing. It's the desires of your heart. Okay? The things that are deep down within. Lord, I want fellowship with you. Lord, I want to know you deep in my heart. By this is my Father glorified. You know, there'll come a point with as we go on this journey of fellowship and prayer, that we find that God puts someone on our hearts and we're praying for them. And, oh, Lord, you say in John chapter 15, verse 7, what I desire, it'll be done for me. Lord, will you save this person? Will you sort out this circumstance? And it might happen like that. It might happen over a period of time. It might happen over a period of years. What you are, what you desire, it shall be done for you. Oh, I don't know if I can believe that. Get into fellowship with Jesus. Get into fellowship with Jesus. And that, from there, you will find desires will flow. Yeah? Now, listen to this one. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, if we left it at there, we would be bereft. We would be, ah, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't have enter into my heart the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We have to move on to the next verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. As we are in fellowship with Jesus, the things that God has prepared for those that love him will be revealed to you. To you. Yeah? Not just to the other people, to you. I'll find out what's funny in a minute from you. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Oh, hallelujah. We have to believe. I can't believe, Matt. I can't believe like that. This is too high for me. I can't believe it. All right, okay, well, let's say this then. Start with fellowship. Let the Lord call you into fellowship with his Son. Okay? If you're thinking this morning, this is outside of my experience, I don't understand this. Okay? It's nice what I'm hearing, but I don't understand it. Point number one is then to let yourself with open ears listen for the call of God. Listen for him. I just want to be called into that fellowship with you. I just want to be called. Well, he said he's called you. So open your ears and hear what the Spirit is saying and respond. You know, we could sit and we can listen to all these things and think, yes, that's wonderful, that is great, that it really is, I really believe that, yes, it's great, and I want to go. And you just sit there. You don't do anything about it. We've got to be, there am I saying, we've got to be having fellowship, we've got to be still. But we've got to, what does it say? Strive to enter into that rest. It says in Hebrews, doesn't it? Oh, Lord, I want to know this fellowship. And if you don't know this fellowship, may I suggest that you make it your priority. Lord, I want to know this fellowship. I want to know it. Make that your prayer. Day in, day out, until you find, oh, I'm in fellowship with Jesus. He is not someone who will dangle a carrot in front of you like a donkey and just as you move towards him, pull it away. That's how you get donkeys to follow you. You get the carrot and you just walk backwards and so that they slowly walk forwards. No, he's not dangling anything. He's saying, I want to call you to fellowship with my son. And in doing that, we say, Lord, our hearts respond and we move forward and we're in fellowship. But I don't feel it. This is perhaps where faith comes in. Lord, this morning I want to know this fellowship with your son. I want to know it, Lord. I have not known it up to now, or I've lost it, or whatever. But Lord, I want to know. I want to know fellowship with your son. And he'll answer. I'm confident. He will answer the cry of your heart. Okay? So we go back to the verse that we started with. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes. And if you are knowing that fellowship at the moment and the abiding in Jesus, build on it. Okay? Lord, this is what I want. I want this daily. I want this. I want to be able to know you with me. Let's pray, shall we? What a thing, Lord, that you would call us. Us, Lord. That you'd call me. Lord, I can't get my head round it, Lord. That you'd call me to be in fellowship with you. But you do. And Lord, our hearts this morning want to respond. We want to respond to you, Lord, and say, yes, this is what we want. Lord, it might be a really deep cry within us that's not yet been realized. Or it might be that we know this so much and we just say, yes, I just want more, Lord. Wherever our hearts are, Lord, see them this morning. And as we reach out to you, Lord, in answer to the call of God, may it be, Lord, that you come in all your wonder and your majesty, and that we would know that fellowship with you day by day.